find them turning their benefits and blessings into the service of their fellow man. We find them addressing God in prayer. We find them being people who are humble before the ways of the Lord. What kind of lifestyle did they live? They lived a lifestyle that we cannot go back today and say they taught that message and they died those deaths because of the money they raised and because of all the benefits that were attributed to them. We do not find that of those immediately close friends and taught individuals, first called disciples, learners, then called apostles, ones that are sent. And when Peter and Andrew went forth, we do not find a mass for them of great estates. And then finally, what do we find about mankind? Well, he likes to do those things that benefit himself. He likes to be around people who are a blessing and a benefit to himself. He likes to amass, if he's selfish, certain estates and monies and so forth and so on. Do we find these attributed to any of the disciples of our Lord? Do we find them attributed to any of the prophets that are listed in our Bibles? And historically, closing the Bible and looking off to the side, do we find historically these people in places and circumstances like that? We do not. And finally, we find people doing most anything to preserve earthly life. We want to take the right medicines. We want to take them at the right time. We want to do the correct therapies. We want to be sure we're in a place where we can do that. We want to advance our physical life. What do we find about these disciples of the Lord, these teachers? You know, in the books of the New Testament of our Bible, we find Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And then we find four other writers. Eight writers of these New Testament books, Peter and Paul, James and Jude, we find them to be there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we find Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. What's their message? A message of hope, Romans 8:24. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? Thus the writing of Paul in Romans 8:24 tells us that he's looking beyond this earthly life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 10, he says, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, will we find a man looking to this earthly life and this earthly way, or do we find him looking beyond this earthly life? We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What mannerism do we find in Simon Peter's life? He was close to the Lord, taught the teaching of the Lord. His way was a way of goodness and favor with the Lord. What kind of lifestyle did he live? In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 21, he speaks regarding this gospel of the Lord and how this gospel is forever. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, he tells the brethren, be ready. Don't notice that you're sanctified by the Lord and be ready to give answer to every man who asks you reason of hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, do that. Give explanation to people. Talk to people. Steadily live a life that will compel them to raise a question of you, of the lifestyle that you live. Live in such a way that you will emphasize the way that Jesus taught us to live. A life of truth, a life of purity, a life of mercy toward others, a life of service. In our study of Christian evidence today, do we see anything like the human ways of life? noted that they're written in every book of philosophy and every book of science and study about the nature of man around the world. Do we find people that wanted to serve themselves? Do we find people who wanted to grow in themselves? Do we find people adjusting to people who wanted to serve them? Do we find people admonishing themselves and raising up great, great properties in the light? No, we don't. We find them teaching the way of the Lord, serving their fellow man, going to the pits of death, serving others anyway, doing the kind of things that the Lord Jesus said to do. And then describing in the epistles the fact that judgment is ahead for any and all of us, and that we will be judged on the basis of His word that is written. Jesus gave us the reason He said what He did. And in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, He said the following. He said, "I'll judge you in the last day." And He said, "For the words I speak unto you, not my own." Jesus, you came and taught this word, but it's not your word. No, it's not mine only. My Father gave me these words by commandment, what I should go and what I should speak. He gave by commandment to me. I took it and accepted it, and I came to earth and I taught among mankind the same message. That's the message of the Heavenly Father. I thought in regard to our study about Christian evidences, we needed to take a look at the very people around Jesus and the very circumstances around the Bible in which these individuals taught and lived that message before others, and ask you and me, would we be any more noble than to live the same way? Do we find great comfort given to those who take advantage of others? Do we find great exhortation given to those who misuse others? Do we find great advantage for those who hurt others? Do we find great advantage of those who become wealthy untold without any concern for their fellow man? Do we find people who are pushing away the idea of death and the hereafter so successfully that they've been able to live on and on and on? No, we don't. And so we ought to embrace God's word and His teaching. We ought to practice it for the ways of life and enjoy the bounty of it in the hereafter. For if Paul told the truth about it, if it is accurate, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. As we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, would it be said of you and me that we followed His will that He taught us, and His way that was shown us by the first generation of people who heard Him? You know, some writings have been done in regard to the way that these Christians suffered and how that they went through the halls of death. But they're all of one voice.
You know, we find that voice to be a voice of teaching in the New Testament of our Bible. The examples that are given of people converted to Christ in Acts chapters 2 and 9, 8, 10, chapter 16, chapter 22, tell us the full message of people believing in Christ, told to repent, confess Christ, be baptized, begin living faithfully for Him in a local congregation wherein they resided. Whether it was in Jerusalem or in Asia Minor or over in Rome area, they were expected to be faithful and true to the Lord and teach their fellow man the same message of hope and salvation from sin. Can we find ourselves obeying that same message today and living for Him who died for us?